realfaith.org.au.
I just felt like, you know, wow, I cannot deal with this. I cannot cope with this. And, you know, I thought, okay, just get my rifle on. And of course, yeah, you know, I thought about that for about 30 seconds, but God said to me, well, I promised you that I would never let you face anything that you couldn't deal with. And so, yeah, it was like, you know, the word of God was actually like a lifeline, and I just grabbed hold of it.
Welcome to Real Faith, conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's real people, real life, and real faith with Eric Scatterbo.
Life started off well for our guest today. He was raised in a Christian family, and he grew up having a strong trust in the Lord. But then, as life went on, things began to unravel. He experienced one disappointment after another, and he got to the point where he felt a bit like a modern-day Job. So the question became, would he continue to trust and rely on his childhood faith in the Lord, or would he chuck it all in? Alan, welcome to the program.
Thanks.
Okay, so we're going to get to the low point in your life, but first we want to start off with the high point, your childhood. Okay. Things were pretty good growing up in a Christian home in New Zealand.
Yeah, you know, I had a younger brother and sister, and Mum and Dad were really good to us. You know, Dad read to us every night after dinner. You know, we read from the Bible together as a family. Mum used to lead us through devotionals in the morning after breakfast.
And that led to a lifelong love of God's Word?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. Never, ever, ever doubted that the Bible was true, that it was absolutely the Word of God, not once.
And then what happened at 7 years old?
7 years old. Yeah, one Sunday night, you know, I couldn't even tell you what the sermon was exactly, but after the sermon, I just knew that Jesus died for my sins and that I needed to repent of my sins and ask his forgiveness because I knew that I needed that and I wanted to have a relationship with him. That's about as deep as it got. It's mm-hmm. for seven, but I think that was pretty much it.
Yeah, yeah. So a firm foundation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And then the storms of life came.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So when I was about 12, Dad came home one night. Mum wasn't with him. They worked together. Dad was a doctor, Mum was a nurse, and they worked together in the practice. And that was a bit strange. Dad sat us down at the table and said, well, Mum's gone to be with the Lord, you know. She'd been in a single car accident. Mm. Mercifully, she died instantly. And, yeah, so that's really, that was a pretty big blow, you know.
Wow, I mean, that rocked your world.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's like the floor has just disappeared.
And what had been your relationship with your mother?
Oh, yeah, I love my mum dearly, you know. Yeah, it was just really, really tough. Really tough, but I wasn't angry at God or anything like that. You know, I knew where she was, and, mm-hmm. you know, that was fine. But it was just, I'd rather it didn't happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously.
And then something else happened that you rather didn't happen.
Yeah, well, sort of some well-meaning but misguided folks who came to visit us, Dad and us kids as a family, they were a little bit like Job's friends, you know, what kind of sin has caused this? Or maybe somebody's done something wrong or said something wrong.
So kind of implying that your mother had some kind of sin in her life, which caused this tragedy to happen?
Yeah, either her
or... To be blunt about it?
Yeah, either her or one of us.
Even. Oh, not just her. It could have been somebody else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I mean, we might have said something negative. It made me angry because it just seemed so wrong, you know, but it made me angry because it really hurt my dad deeply, and I knew he was already struggling with his, you know, his faith. How could God let this happen, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was just like, this is like grinding his face into the ashes, you know?
Well, it's victimizing the victim.
Yeah.
And we should say before we go any further that this is not biblical.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah. Incidentally, I mentioned Job's friends.
Well, there are examples of don't let this happen to you. Yeah. We should
make that clear. Absolutely, yeah. Because, you know, there's the thing that out of the book of Job, which actually brought Dad a lot of healing, was the fact that twice in the very beginning, God explicitly says that nothing that happens to Job is for anything that Job has done mm-hmm. or anything that Job hasn't done. And not only was that a great strength to my dad, but also to me. So that, then that's like proof from God's word that these people are talking rubbish.
So. Yes, but it is an example of how bad theology can really mess people's lives up.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, now we want to kind of fast forward to your young adult years.
Okay, well, you know, I played rugby in, you know, New Zealand and did all the usual teenage things, you know, learned to drive a car, learned to ride a motorbike, got
so
right into
motorcycles.
Yeah. And particularly Triumph motorcycles, you know, loved them. Rode all over New Zealand with friends.
And then you met someone?
In my early 20s, met a girl and, you know, we got married. And early 81, we came to Melbourne, basically because the economy of New Zealand wasn't looking good. So
came on over.
Yeah, came over here.
Came across the ditch.
yeah, and loved it, you know, really enjoyed it. And had a first child in mid-80s. And life was pretty good, you know.
But some struggles in the marriage?
Well, yeah, look, there have been hiccups and, you know, even more than hiccups. But, you know, we'd worked through those. Mm-hmm. Then we had a bit of a setback. We had lost a child.
And your wife thought maybe she was to blame, which brings up another whole theological...
Well, yeah, there was this, and it's kind of like an echo of the, oh, maybe it's some sin that I've done that's, you know, and God does not work that way. If you ask for forgiveness, you know, John says, if you confess your sins, ask for forgiveness, he's faithful and he'll forgive you and forget them, actually.
I think a lot of times when we put our faith in the Lord, especially at a young age, we kind of have a idolized version of everything's going to be fine. I have a Heavenly Father. I'm a Christian. Yeah. I'm not going to have any problems because, hey, I'm on the good team, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And so if you focus on those things, you know, you can get a really sort of out of balance view because, you know,
it's all going to be roses.
Yeah. I mean, you read the accounts of the, you know, Paul talking about his experiences, you know,
going back to the Job thing, it wasn't a bed of roses for Job.
No.
Jesus says you will face trials of many kinds.
Yeah. And also Jesus himself said, well, you know, if you want to follow me, pick up your cross. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well,
so you have to have a balance there.
Yeah. That balanced thing was always good. So that got us through those things. And then, we had another child a few years later, and, you know, we're solid members of a, you know, church that was growing, and, you know, things were going pretty well. Then,
frankly, things began to unravel.
Well, they did, you know. Then we had some family members who got terminal illnesses in fairly quick succession after one another, you know, over, say, a three-year period.
Yeah, so that was your wife's parents?
Yeah. And we nursed them, and, yeah, that was pretty hard. And
so that kind of just took all of your time. Is that right? Or,
or
both of your time? Or
well, actually, it took all of her time, which put a big financial strain on us because we'd bought a property which was, you know, we could manage when we both had an income, but of course, one of us had to sort of spend time nursing people. Then, you know, one of us, the income drops, so I ended up working 72-hour weeks.
Oh, wow.
For over the three-year period.
So not a lot of husband-wife time and family time?
Yeah.
Just kind of?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
A
it
big
was,
strain on
it was pretty. It was pretty bad. And what we didn't realize was that one of girls was, you know, she really was struggling to deal with all of this, and she was at high school, and she got into dope, and, you know, to the point where she had to be admitted to hospital because she had a psychotic episode. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was pretty tough, you know. I mean, it was really tough, and that doesn't do it justice, but for the sake of brevity, church time sort of suffered as well, you know, for obvious reasons, you know.
You hadn't been to church for a number of months?
Well, yeah. I mean, it was sort of go when I can sort of thing, you know, and virtually never as a couple or even, you know, as a family as we used to, which is, you know, obviously not good.
And unfortunately, your in-laws passed away?
Yeah. One was diagnosed with cancer and then died fairly, only a few months later. And the other was, diagnosed the next year. So we're just getting over that. And then we're, round two.
Wow.
And that was a longer, 18 months, 2 years sort of haul. So that was, it was pretty hard to deal with.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, one of your daughters took it pretty hard and
And, she's come through that and the Lord's been really gracious and, she's going from strength to strength now, so terrific. Actually, her testimony is absolutely mind-blowing.
We don't want to get too far ahead of the story.
At the time, I looked at all of this and I just went, I've got too many balls to try and keep in the air and I can't juggle them all and I'm dropping them. And I'm going, okay, so the spiritual health of this family is disintegrating and I'm responsible, and I am, according to how I read the scriptures. So, this is not an encouraging place to be. And then, a bombshell was that my wife said to me, well, I no longer want to do the marriage thing. I no longer want to do the Christian thing. I want a divorce. Boom. And you can move out and you can take, we have one daughter at home. Both of you can move out. Which was like, gut-wrenching.
Our guest today, Alan, is sharing with us a growing list of disappointments in his life, and it put him in a very dark place. We're going to take a break, and when we return, we'll learn how, at the lowest point, Alan remembered some Bible verses from his childhood that really helped him pull out of the despair. That and more when we return right here on Real Faith.
The Word for Today is Australia's most widely read daily devotional, designed to give you practical teaching to keep you focused on your relationship with Jesus. Read it online or subscribe to the free printed edition at thewordfortoday.com.au. You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back to Real Faith. I'm Eric Scadabo, and our guest today, Alan, is sharing with us his story and the growing list of disappointments that he experienced in his life. And it got to the point where we just heard right before the break that his wife had left him. This could have been the final straw, but let's listen and find out what happened next.
I just felt like, I cannot deal with this. I cannot cope with this. And I thought, the only way I could just get my rifle and, put it to my head, pull the trigger, and I'd be over. And of course, I thought about that for about 30 seconds, but God said to me, not in an audible voice, but I knew that this was, and he said, well, I promised you that I would never let you face anything that you couldn't deal with. And I've also promised you that I will give you the means to cope with those things. So choice is yours. Either I'm telling you the truth and you will survive this, or I'm a liar. That's it. That's the choice. Well, there's nowhere you can go with that, obviously God's not a liar. And I knew that, and I would never, ever even hint that that was the case. So, what other choice do I have? So that was, suicide was not an option. It just wasn't.
But you had gotten to that point of even.
Oh yeah, I understood exactly. It's not something that you could just brush off and go,
at your darkest moment, the words of the Lord, that you learn from a child, He will never leave you nor forsake you,
He was still with you. Absolutely, that he would never leave me, and if anyone was going to be doing the leaving, I would have to be doing it. All of these things kind of fitted all at once, and it's hard to describe, but sort of like the weight of all of these things all at once, sort of going, you can't do this, because if you do, then you're making all of those scriptures a lie, and that's, you know, unthinkable. And so, yeah, it was like, you know, the Word of God was actually like a lifeline, and I just grabbed hold of it really tightly and you know, okay, this is it. I've got nothing else. But I knew that, you know, okay, this is solid, this is real, I can hang on to this, and, you know, through that, then. And it's not often I sort of really go through all of this and rethink it, because, you know, it's like, once is enough, you know,
get over Sorry it. To have put you through this.
No, but it's, but it is actually, I mean, when I do consider it, I look at it and I go, wow. At the time, I was, the things happened, and I look back and I look at it and go, wow, God actually did this and did that and did that. At the time, it didn't seem like that was the way it was, but now I look at it and I go, what else can it have been? And
But I'm just seeing this trend throughout your life that the devil was trying to get you off.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Off
yeah.
of keeping your eyes on Jesus the whole way. I mean, going all the way back to the death of your mother, and then trying to blame her so she did something wrong, and all these other things, just trying to get you to look to the left or the right, but not to keep your eyes firmly on your Lord and Savior.
Well, one thing that I really grabbed hold of is that we tend to think about people in church life, you know, and we build people up, you know, whether this guy's got such a great ministry or that guy's got such a great ministry. And then, of course, you compare yourself to that person, which is always destructive.
That's always wrong, yep.
And I think of, you know, in the scriptures, it says the disciples came to Jesus and said, who's the greatest in the kingdom? So Jesus takes a little child and he says, if you become like a little child, then you will be the greatest in the kingdom. And I think that is the truest thing that I think, you know, forget about all the things that you do or don't do for God, but, you know, you need to just hang on to the Lord and go, okay, I'm going to trust you like a child trusts their father. You know, I mean, I'm going to trust you. And, you know, okay, so some people don't have really great fathers, you know, but children are very trusting, trusting. And, you know, sometimes that can get them into trouble. But you know, when we're talking about God and we're talking about Jesus, you know, I mean, there's no danger there. And you trust in God's word, trust in what God has said, trust in his goodness, and that's it. That makes you the greatest.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter. We need to get away from looking at, you know, because that was one of my biggest problems. You know, I was like, you know, okay, I'm such a failure at this, which is what drove me to that, you know, few seconds of despair. And it's, you know, forget about that. It's not about success. It's not about how well you're doing this or how well you're doing that. It's about, am I hanging on to my Father's hand like a little child? Mm-hmm. That's it. And Jesus says that you're the greatest in the kingdom, you know? So it's like...
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting. It's kind of going all the way back to your seven-year-old childlike faith in the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yet, on the other hand, it's a much more mature adult faith.
Yeah.
Because now you know it's not all a bed of roses. There are going to be trials of many kinds that we'll be going through. And another part of your life was the whole topic of forgiveness.
Yeah. Look, I suffered a betrayal at one point, which I just, you know, and I knew from the scriptures, you know, we have to forgive. You have to forgive how many times? 70 times 7. Jesus says, after giving the Lord's Prayer, he says, you know, it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive one another. And Jesus said, well, you know, if you won't forgive one another, then the Heavenly Father's not going to forgive you. So, you know, forgiveness is a big deal and we need to learn it. But I knew, the person's asking for forgiveness, and I'm thinking, man, I just don't feel like forgiving you. This is really, you know, I'm so angry. Wow. And I'm hurt. And but then I thought, well, look, you know, I remember the story, Corrie ten Boom, lady in a concentration camp in World War II.
Yep.
She was a Christian, and after the war, she went, God sent her to minister to German people, which was difficult for her. But she met one of the guys who was a camp guard, and he asked for her forgiveness, and she really couldn't find it in herself to forgive him. But she obediently said, yes, I forgive you. And the minute the words were out of her mouth, all of the anger and bitterness and hurt went, and she loved this man. And I remembered that story in the instances when I went, okay, Lord, brief prayer, you know. So I said, okay, yes, I forgive you. And exactly the same thing happened. And it's like, okay, God gives you the power, but you must be obedient first, and then you get the it's like Peter stepping out of the boat, you know. Oh, let me walk on the water, you know. Mm. Well, yeah, you can walk on the water, but you got to step out of the boat first, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's that step of faith, you know. So God's word says this. Well, I don't have the power to do that, but I'm going to do it anyway. And then all of a sudden you do that in obedience and the Lord gives you the power. And that was a huge, huge lesson.
So, now, we're running out of time, but I just thought, you know, everything you've been through, you could really get down on yourself. You know, I'm a failure. Look at things. Things did not end up the way I thought. I thought I was going to have the perfect marriage and children, and everything was going to be fine. And then when it didn't go that way, you could have really beat yourself up.
Well, I did beat myself up quite a bit, actually. But ultimately,
look, what advice would you have for people who were at that same point? How did you get through it?
How I got through it is that it's not about me. God doesn't. He's not like a schoolmaster. He's going, okay, you've got so many stars, so now you get a prize. You know, oh no, you haven't got these stars, so you're going to get sent to, you know, to the corner. God wants to know us. He wants to have a relationship with us as a person, and he's not concerned so much. It's like what he is interested in is that we will trust him and love him, and that's it. You know, that's why Jesus made his little demonstration with the child. You know, the child is, you know, he's not going to do great works necessarily or anything like that, but he will hang on and trust the Lord. And so this is something I think, you know, okay, listen, it's not my righteousness or my anything good about me. It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus, and it's freely available, but we've just got to trust him. So it's like if the enemy says to me, okay, yeah, wow, you just blown this and everything else, I go, yeah, absolutely. Isn't it great? You know, but I'm not justified by what I do. I'm justified by what Jesus did on the cross.
And I know he loves me.
Yeah, yeah,
and he
absolutely.
He wants to help me get through anything.
Yeah. So the it takes the power out of the enemy then, because he comes along, you go, so are you such a failure? And you go, yeah, I know, isn't it great? Jesus died for me and it doesn't matter. I mean, of course, yeah, I mean, like this, yeah, we could, that's the reality, but I mean, all
he's,
of the
he's
pain.
He's still
and
working
everything.
With me.
Yeah, he's all, yeah, we're always a work in progress.
Yeah,
But it's about Jesus, about what Jesus did. It's about him and he sustains us, and it's not what how good we are. God looks at us and he sees his son. That's what I would like people to know. Like, you know, don't beat yourself up about, you know, how badly you do this or what have you. You know, get on your knees, acknowledge it to God and go, well, I've sinned or I've done this or whatever it is. Ask for forgiveness and he will forgive you. And if you ask him to teach you and lead you and you get into the word, read your word, pray, and he will bring you through it.
He wants what's best for you.
Oh, absolutely. And he wants a personal relationship with you, you know. You know, and he's
looking for a fixer-up project.
Yeah, absolutely.
You qualify.
Everybody. and like, you know, I mean, we all have friends that we, you know, and the things that friends are people in our lives that we think, you know, they do things that some of the things that they do we don't particularly like, but we don't stop being friends with them. Because of that, you know, I mean, like, we love them because of who they are, and we accept
them.
We
want the best for them.
Yeah,
we don't like some of the things they do,
but we
want them to improve and grow and mature. And
well, if you love somebody, you know, I mean, you love them no matter what. You love them with their faults and their foibles and their, you know, all of those things. You love them because you love them, you know, and that's God. I mean, he just loves us.
So that just gives you a confidence.
Oh yeah,
that allows you to go through some pretty horrendous things.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously nobody would choose to do those sorts of things,
no.
but I know, and I've proved through my experiences, I've absolutely proved that what God's word says is true, you know, and even in my darkest times, I never ever doubted that God's word was true, not once. I never ever thought that God was bad or that he didn't exist or anything like that. I doubted myself heaps and my relationship with him, but now I've come to know that, you know, God just goes, okay, listen, you just step like a little child, you know, grab my hand. Yes, I'll forgive you if you ask for it, and we'll be fine.
And let's continue to walk together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alan, thank you so much for sharing your story and your experiences with us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
You've been listening to Real Faith. And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join us again next time for more conversations about God working in the lives of people who put their faith and trust in Him. That's real people, real life, and real faith.
This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.